You're listening to the Intuitive Souls podcast. I am your host, Tara Caruso, and this podcast is designed to educate, inspire, and enlighten. Let's wake up together. Okay, you guys, welcome to In the Stars with Hannah Kuhari, right?
I was going to say Kuhari.
Kuhari. So I've been butchering it this whole time.
You're not the only one. And you know what? I respond to all of it. So
awesome. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about what's going on astrologically for the month of May. And it really freaked. So first off, guys, we had some technical difficulties the first time we tried to record this, but we were just saying, like, I can't believe it's May already. Like, it's pretty crazy. So what we decided to do, Hannah had this good idea where I'm going to pull a tarot card for the collective to see what kind of energy is going to happen with the month of May. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think this is a beautiful card for Taurus season. I got the Nine of Pentacles. So it's a really good card. It's a positive card, but it's also a card of growth and being grounded and being in the present moment and allowing yourself to really And this is what we spoke about yesterday. So it really kind of does coincide with everything where it's like, you know, being in Taurus season, it's all about pampering yourself, I want to say, allowing yourself to, you know, buy the new pajamas since we're living in them. Go ahead and, you know, buy all those herbs and garden and really connect with material things, whether that be through cooking or your gardening or, you know, indulging, maybe buying another crystal or so. But what a beautiful card to get. I mean, and it's from the Lightseer's Tarot. So it's such a beautiful, it really is such a positive looking card. So I think that's a beautiful card that I pulled. So
I love that. Yes. That's total Taurus energy because Taurus, which we are sitting in this season until May 20th, is really the season for deepening our commitments to ourselves. So yeah, looking and acknowledging all the abundance that we already have within us, as well as the ways that we can indulge a little bit in a practical way to reconnect with our inner energy and just to slow down and live in the moment. So that's such a perfect card for where we are right now. And just a few more little tidbits from Taurus season I want to share with you guys before we start getting into all of the dates and all the happenings for the month of May. This is such a great energy to just slow down and to live in the moment. And, you know, Aries season was all about hitting the ground running, really launching into our projects and all the things that we want to get done with this year with a lot of vitality and vigor. And Taurus being a fixed sign, and being an earth sign, really wants to just root down into the here and the now and commit to getting the work done with an eye for quality and looking over all the details with an essence of practicality so that whatever it is that we're creating or manifesting or working on is going to be absolutely perfect and beautiful when we finish it.
Yes.
So just slow down and enjoy it.
And that was so, because we, like I said, guys, we tried to record this last night and we had some technical difficulties. But when you were talking to me about that and basically saying, like, you know, really perfect what you're doing right now, really take the time, don't rush through it. You really want to be proud of the work you're doing. And that's so true, because I'm working on my coaching program and those, you know, your words definitely like resonated with me. And I was like, yeah, so I'm going to really take my time and really create a beautiful program that I'm super proud of, because, and it's such a perfect time to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and really I'm trying to harness that Taurus energy right now. So I loved that you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we have the time to do it right now, or at least a lot of us have the time to do it right now. So instead of feeling like, oh, I have nothing to do, or I want to binge watch something or like rush through something, like find an activity that can just be expansive, that you can take as much time as you want to really craft it to be whatever it is that you want it to be.
Yes.
And also Taurus, because it's ruled by Venus, is very connected to all of the five senses. So living in the moment of the physical world. You mentioned gardening, which for a lot of us where we live right now is something that we're getting out and doing as the weather warms up. So even, you know, if you're gardening or you're spending time outside, maybe it's just a walk or some fresh air, like just take a moment to listen to the birds, feel the breeze against your skin, like notice the temperature, you know, the colors, everything that you smell. Maybe you're been doing some more cooking since we've all been in quarantine status. You know, really take time to savor and to taste your food and to just be in the moment. That's something I really struggle with sometimes. So it's such a great reminder to just slow down and just enjoy where you are right the second.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's so funny you said that, because I was actually, I have like this herb garden, you know, like a standing herb garden, and I was just cleaning it up to get, you know, get it ready for the herbs that I'm going to put in it. And I just kind of took the time to almost like massage the dirt that's already in there, the soil that's already in there, with my son, because he wanted to, you know, help me, of course. And what an experience it was. It was so weird, because it felt like a massage, just massaging the dirt and the soil to break it up. You know what I mean? So I could put the new soil and just, and basically regenerate the soil that's in it. But yeah, like things like that, just being mindful in the moment, in the present moment, you know, whatever the case may be, if you're, you know, cleaning up your garden, cutting your rose bushes, I think like that's such a beautiful way to cultivate Taurus season and just be mindful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And to just acknowledge that we have so much abundance already in our life. Taurus rules over a lot of the finances and material things, but you know, it goes so much more beyond that, of finding and feeling thankful, especially right now, for the places in our life where we have a lot of abundance, and to just give gratitude for all of that. Absolutely. And I just want to mention too, the little Taurus message that I have to share with you guys, that Taurus, being the bull, is deeply and beautifully stubborn, because it knows who it truly is. And it's not swayed very easily or influenced to be changed, to be someone that it's not. And so I just want to share this message with whoever is listening, that who you are today is totally enough. Who you are today is where you need to be. And I think a lot of times in the spiritual community, we focus so much on the person that we're becoming, or that we should be, or that we're destined to be. But it's also so important to just take the time to acknowledge who we are in the moment, who we are right now, in whatever stage of progression or metamorphosis that we are, and to just honor that, to honor who we are, to be perfectly imperfect, but also authentically us.
Ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the way I see it is like, change is inevitable. Change is absolutely inevitable. Whether that's a positive or negative thing to you is completely up to you. But be in the present moment and allow yourself to realize, you know, that, you know, you're the only one of you. And that's your superpower. And, you know, and that's so true. I love that you said that, that it's like we're always striving to be a better version of ourselves, but at the end of the day, we're perfect exactly the way we are in this moment. And we just, and I think with spirituality and being spiritual, we understand that there's just so much, there's so much abundance, there's so much to learn and grow from. And I just love that you brought that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know, I just feel like there's someone out there that needs to hear that today.
Yeah.
Where you are today is where you're supposed to be. So
absolutely.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move into some of the dates that we've got for May. And we're going to start with our first super moon. Well, it's actually our last super moon of the year, but our first full moon in May. And that's coming on May 7th. We're having a super moon in Scorpio. And if you're familiar with the zodiac wheel, then you'll know that Taurus and Scorpio are opposite signs. So we've got the sun in Taurus, and we're going to have the moon in Scorpio. So both of these signs are really helping to transform ourselves to create a more harmonious experience in our life right now. And this is going to be one of the most transformational full moons of the year. I'm just underlining that energetically for you right now. Okay. That Scorpio, being ruled by Pluto, rules over transformation and rebirth in our lives. So it's all about, you know, stepping into a new version. And this moon is very energetically connected to the new moon that we had on April 22nd, which was a very constrictive energy. And it brought up a lot of things that to the surface that we needed to acknowledge and kind of work on. Whereas this full moon in Scorpio is going to be bringing us the emotional space to heal, which I think we all need. I'm really feeling that the collective has a lot of healing work to do, and we're ready to do it.
Yeah.
So take advantage of this lunar energy, because this full moon is going to have a very positive and cleansing effect on us. And it's also going to be a really sensitive time for us to review and reflect over the last month, what we've been holding on to. So, you know, if it's Scorpio themes like fears that we've been holding on to, whether it's fears over the collective or within our own personal lives, maybe there's some like obsessive traits, the need for control, any kind of energetic blocks or worries or anxieties that we're holding on to, all of those are going to be illuminated in this full moon, as well as shining light to the areas that need care and compassion and healing. And I just want to give you a heads up that this process is going to be very intense, especially if you're a water sign. You really are going to feel it. But also, for those of you who don't normally wade into all of the emotional tides, specifically Capricorn, Virgo, Aquarius, even Sagittarius, this might feel really unnatural and uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
So looking at you, Erica.
I know. You're virtually looking at me. I get it. So another question I have, when we talk about the supermoon, what's the difference between a supermoon and a regular full moon?
Yeah. So supermoon is what we call moons that are just in its proximity to the earth. They're closer than other moons are during their orbit. So this time of year, the moon just happens to be a little bit closer to the earth. So its appearance when it rises looks bigger. So you can just imagine the more, it's like more supercharged, if you will, because we're closer to that energetic body or that reflection of energy from the moon.
Okay.
It's just magnified just a little bit more.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Good to know. So May 7th,
super moon in Scorpio, just take the time to surrender to it. Allow for necessary healing and be ready to release, because again, Taurus and Scorpio are really concerned with the security in our lives, both the physical and the emotional security. So something you might want to reflect on during this time is how you can make a plan to heal and balance any of those wounds or polarizing energies in your life.
And also like affirmations like, I am safe, I am divinely guided, I am divinely protected. You know what I mean? Especially if the security thing might be an issue. I don't want to say an issue, but you know, if it's going to really bring up that energy of concern and security for, you know, whatever it is in your life, you know, say some affirmations, you know, I am safe, I am abundant, I am, you know, eternally guided, eternally protected, and all of that great stuff, because you don't want, like, we don't want it to be a negative thing. And I think like with the full moon, a lot of the times, if you don't realize that your intention with everything that's going on energetically around you, if you don't realize that your intention, if you don't know how to harness that, the full moon can be real crazy. Like it can really bring up a lot of stuff. Like everyone, even like hospitals know that during the full moon, there's higher emergency room rates and urgent care and everything like that. Because whether we are aware of it or not, it's happening, you know, right. Whether we are aware of it or not. So knowing that this is happening on May 7th, guys, you know, just know that you are okay and know that you are enough and enjoy it. You know, so we can look at the moon as a, you know, everyone's like, oh, the full moon. But whenever the full moon comes, I'm always like, bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it. It's a time to heal. It's a time for change. It's a time to let go of things that are no longer serving us, you know?
Yeah. And reflection. I like to think of the moon as like, you know, just let that energy hold you.
Yeah.
Let it comfort you if that's what you need. And I think a lot of us have a lot of fears and anxieties about what's been going on in the global community for the last couple of months. And it's I think, brought to light a lot of areas of trauma and old belief systems and patterns that aren't serving us anymore. And it's hard to let go of that stuff. It's scary. But like you said, having some affirmations to know that, like, I accept change. I know that the universe supports me in my growth. To just really call on, you know, your energetic and your spiritual support, you will be divinely guided and taken care of. If we can just surrender to allowing that to happen, let go of the fear, and just allow that energy to guide you. We're all going to get through it on the other end. So,
absolutely. Yes. All right. What are some other days?
Yeah. Let's move into retrograde season, which we've already kicked off at the end of April with Pluto. I'm not going to go much into that because we already talked about that last month a little bit. Okay. But Pluto went into retrograde on April 25th, and it's going to be retrograde for the next 5.5 months. And that is just really working with us over the course of the half of a year of reworking our old belief patterns, things that no longer serve us in our life, getting to where we need to be. So I think a lot of us are really feeling that on top of the collective energy. So that's going on in the background right now. It's already started. So if you are feeling that energy, know that Pluto is transforming you. And again, just surrender to it. It's happening. But May 11th, we're having Saturn that is going to be going retrograde in Capricorn for the next 4.5 months until mid-September. So I like to envision Saturn as like the cosmic father of the universe. It rules our responsibilities. It overlooks societal structures and expectations, discipline, long-term planning. It keeps us in line. So with it going into retrograde, we can expect that these themes of societal and cultural expectations that override the needs of the individual are going to continue during its retrograde motion. So, you know, compared to the other planets, Saturn retrograde is usually not felt as intensely by the individual because, you know, it's just so much farther out in space. But I do see it affecting much more of the collective and shifting a lot of our reactions and definitions of social responsibilities right now, in particular to how we're responding to the COVID pandemic. So I see a lot of those themes continuing. On a smaller scale, for the individual, you know, Saturn, like I mentioned, looks at long-term progress to where we want to go. But in retrograde, it's all about redefining our progress into smaller pieces and time frames. So it's slowing down a little bit, kind of like we were talking about with Taurus season, just looking at, you know, where we want to be in a 10-month or 20-month or 20 or 10-year plan, if you've got one, or a 5-year plan or whatever it is. And think more about like, okay, well, what can I do right now that can help me even a little bit get to where I want to go. Maybe it's like, if you're like, for me, like my local Starbucks is closed, so I can take those extra $5 that I used to be spending on coffee and putting it into my savings. Like that's something that can very, very much help me in the long run, but it's a small piece of the big puzzle.
You know what I did? That's so freaking funny you said that. Oh my God. Because I just had this intuitive knowing. I have a couple of apps on my phone, you know, to save money, you know, and invest in stuff. But I knew that I had to get Acorns. Have you ever heard of Acorns?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
It's a really great app, and it's just so simple. And I just signed up because something told me, I was like, you know, it's time for me to really just even a little bit, like you said, the $5, mm-hmm. that's what you could start out with. But doing that, I don't know. I felt like intuitively guided to do it. And it's so funny that you said the same thing about, you know, taking that $5 and putting it in savings, mm-hmm. you know, that's,
yeah.
Yeah. So guys, go invest, go get Acorns. Yeah. It's a great app.
Or even if it's in yourself, if it's in your health, if you've got long-term health goals, like just focus on what you can do today. Like what choices can you make?
Yeah.
What can you break it down into making it more feasible for you to get to where you want to go? Like this is all practical, logical stuff that we should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, framing it with Saturn in retrograde, you know, the cosmos are telling you to do it too.
Yeah.
So shifting into the next day, May 12th, we have Venus that goes retrograde. This happens a little less often. It only happens once every 18 months. And when we talk about retrograde, this is whenever a planet, the themes of the planet are no longer an outward expression. The themes become a focal point of inward reflection. So for Venus as the planet that rules love and romance and our personal relationships, this retrograde period is going to force us to review some of the darker aspects of our relationships and also take a hard look at what we value and desire in our life. And an example of this would be, you know, are there people in our life that we want to love, but at what expense are we holding on to them? You know, what are we expending out of our personal life in order to hold on to this person out of fear of letting go? Or, you know, are we in relationships or friendships that we continue to be taken advantage of or taken for granted? Or even maybe we're the person that's enabling toxic behavior because the work to release those partnerships or those friendships just feels too much because, you know, you can rationalize, well, I've been friends with this person for 10 years. Like, how can I just cut them out? Listen, if someone is not serving you, you know, in your, what you deserve to be and how you deserve to be treated, or they're not aiding you in your journey in a positive way, it's time to cut the cords. I mean, yeah. Simple as that. And that's a hard thing to do. This retrospection is going to be really uncomfortable. It's tough to look at people in our lives, like really look at them and be like, you know what? Things have changed. Our relationship isn't what it used to be anymore. But the beauty in this is it offers tremendous clarity on really defalsifying what is an authentic relationship and what's not. What's real human connection and what's not? And are we truly being fulfilled by these relationships with other people? So I foresee a lot of journaling work for people. I think that's going to be really helpful. Anyone with a mutable sign, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, or Pisces in particular is really going to feel this because those signs are so connected with relationships. But it's Venus retrograde is a tough one. I'm going to just throw that out there in a relationship aspect.
Yeah.
And it's also because it rules our physical appearance the beauty aspect. This is also the worst time of year to make any kind of major appearance changes. So like any kind of major haircut or hair color change, or thinking about, I don't know, getting like your lips done or something. I don't know, whatever you're thinking that you might be doing to change your appearance, like just hold off. Just hold on a little while.
So no quarantine bangs is what you're trying to
Again,
say.
Yes. Those damn quarantine bangs, they're becoming a theme here, but yeah, don't do it.
Okay. Duly noted. Cause I was this close, like no joke guys. I was about to get myself quarantine bangs and dye my hair, not any crazy color, like just basically just a darker color, but they've been sitting in my closet. Cause I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I should do this. So good to know. Good to know. Yeah. I'll wait until I could get to my hairdresser.
Perfect.
Yes.
You don't want to regret that.
Right, exactly.
So the same day on May 12th, we have Mars that's going to shift into Pisces. So Mars is our planet of action and drive and motivation and also sexual energy. It's a very intense planet. You know, it's masculine energy. Whereas Pisces is the slowest sign of the zodiac. So Mars really doesn't like hanging out in this sign. It feels idle. It feels really slow. So for those of you that might be working on projects and want to really kind of ignite the fire, you're going to feel things kind of slow down a little bit. Now, I just want to pause and say that this isn't necessarily a bad thing, because you can really utilize this extra time to put a polish on all the details that you're doing and that you're creating, and really take the time to dream into any kind of projects or future plans that you have, since Pisces is such a dreamy sign, like beautiful imagination. So that when Mars resumes back in Aries, where it's happy at the end of June, you can really hit the ground running with progress again. And things are going to be lined up, and really, really, you're really going to be able to see in the big picture of what it is that you want to do.
All right. Good to know.
Okay. Yes. So May 14th, Jupiter goes retrograde in Capricorn, and it's going to hang out there through September 12th. Now, this is one of those retrogrades that I actually embrace with open arms. This is actually very positive, energetic release, if you will. So Jupiter is our planet of growth and abundance and blessings and luck, and it expands our world vision. And this is one of those retrogrades that doesn't feel constrictive or uncomfortable, because its reflection is on all of our life's blessings and the opportunities that we've already had. So it's really a perfect time to go back and review, like, all of the amazing opportunities that you've had this past year. You know, what has happened to you that has seemed like a complete blessing? What has felt really lucky to you? You know, it's looking at the areas of our life where we've really been able to shine and to feel grateful for that. And Jupiter retrograde really influences us to be more thoughtful and to give us the time to reaffirm or change any of the areas in our life where we put our faith. So like putting a faith in ourselves or in our marriage or our country, or, you know, even on a global scale. So it's really a beautiful time for reflection, for journaling, for self-realization. I see a lot of people really opening up to their spiritual awakenings right during Jupiter retrograde, because this chapter really expands our mental and our emotional and our spiritual studies in order to grow. So I see, like, come mid-May, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be feeling like they need to go deeper with learning more about their inner selves and utilizing that, like, you know, intuitive hits that they've been getting, and just a lot of thirst for new knowledge and discovery. So I'm really excited about that. It's got a really positive vibration to it, and I think it's going to really serve a lot of us on the path that we're already going.
I do too. I think it's beautiful timing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah. So that's May 14th.
So, and that retrograde is a couple of months, right?
It is, yeah. Okay. Jupiter will be retrograde through mid-September.
Okay.
So then we're going to finish off the month, May 22nd for the Northern Hemisphere, May 23rd for all of you down under. We are going to have a new moon in Gemini. Now, this is a particularly special new moon, because this month we're also seeing the North Node of Karmic Destiny also shifting into Gemini. Okay. So this new moon is really asking us to look around and decide, who do we want to surround ourselves with? Like, who do we want to be connected to? Who do we want to learn from or be more alike? And I don't say alike as like you want to be a carbon copy. It's looking at someone and appreciating the knowledge that they've gleaned or the progress they've made in their life or the success that they have, and to learn from them and embody that energy so that we can get to where we want to go to. So Gemini, being an air sign, is all about communication. They love making those connections with other people and really sharing ideas, and talking about intellectual topics. So, you know, Geminis can feel a little restless with plans that are a little too concrete sometimes, and they have kind of a reputation for being flaky and following through. So
I'm sorry for
that. It's true.
Yeah. Okay.
But this new moon is really an ideal time to start something, to initiate something that's going to allow you to have the room to explore as it takes shape. So when we're talking about intention setting with a new moon in Gemini, it's not going to be like, here's my plan that I'm going to stick to step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's going to be like, here's my intention in a big picture, and I'm going to allow myself to lean into this as I feel it. I'm going to allow this project to happen as it organically comes together. I'm going to give myself the space and time to change if I need to. And I think it's going to be a really nice energetic shift from having things be so structured. We have so much Capricorn going on right now,
yeah,
that having the space to just explore is just really going to be such a blessing. And
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the new moon too is going to be a really excellent time to improve our communication skills, specifically instead of just using our words, but actively listening and enjoying other people's perspectives and just instead of just focusing on our own. You know, we always talk about how, you know, speaking our truth and putting our words out there. And yes, that is very important, but there is an equal amount of weight that goes to actively listening to what someone else is saying and making space to lean and feel into that, you know, and to accepting that someone might feel a different way or see it in a different way, and how that can relate to us. And this lunar cycle in general is going to be a really good time to evaluate how we use our social skills with other people, and maybe there's room to make some changes. I think, I know for myself, there is. So, you know, some throat chakra work would be really ideal for this new moon. And there's lots of rituals that I'm sure you could suggest too, but that would be my biggest suggestion. If there is some kind of rituals that you want to really anchor into, would be with the throat chakra.
I mean, really the first thing that really comes to mind is one, just doing a chakra clearing first. And mm-hmm. I do feel like the throat chakra is a big problem area for so many people. Like it's not, yeah. You know what I mean? If you have a problem speaking up and if you have blockages in your throat chakra, it is so common. So don't beat yourself up about it. And just mm-hmm. really, I would really cultivate like almost working on your throat chakra during this time, you know, mm-hmm. have lapis lazuli around or, you know, if you're afraid, like a great technique that I do with my one-on-one clients is if like, you know, those conversations that you have to have, but you really don't want to have them. Mm-hmm. What I do is like, okay, well, in a perfect scenario, why don't you basically write a script of how the perfect scenario would happen with this conversation that you have to have. Work yourself up enough in order to have those awkward conversations, you know?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, guys, we're all human and we all have to like go into those that, you know, you have to have the conversation, but you've been dreading it. And if you're really feeling anxious about it and stuff like that, that's an indication that your throat chakra is off or it's not balanced. So if you go into that conversation prior and do the work of your throat chakra and always come from a place of love, I, you know, expect it to be not as bad as what you think, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah. That's definitely what I would suggest is just focusing on your throat chakra, you know,
yeah.
Like before going and running to the person. And if you're not energetically ready to speak your truth, don't do it. You can take some time to work on that and then go mm-hmm. do it. And you're going to have better results.
Yeah.
You know,
such good advice.
Thank you.
Always coming through. So that's May. That's all I've got. We've got some some interesting energies coming through. Like I said at the beginning, I can't believe it. We're already talking about May.
I know.
Like 2 months ago when we started these, you know, I was kind of like silently hoping that by this point in time, things would be different. But I think we're all kind of coming into the awareness and acceptance that life as we knew it is gone.
Yeah.
And we're having to adjust to a new normal. And I do think that those feelings are grief. You know, yeah. there's things in our life that we're grieving right now that are no longer. Maybe it's, for me, I know I just miss like hugging my friends. I miss being able to, you know, take my kids out and take them to the park and, you know, have those connections with people on a closer one-to-one level. And, you know, for some people, it might be grieving their lifestyle of there's some big changes there, where how they used to have to do, how they were able to do their work and their career before, it's changed as well. So, you know, with a lot of this stuff going on too, that if there's things that you need to grieve, like light yourself a white candle and cry, or write it down, or just honor it. We're all going through it at some level. And something I come back to all the time when I'm having difficult days, is that no one is immune to this, first of all. And right. We're all in this together. We're all struggling with something. And as like depressing at the surface level as that is, there's also something really beautiful about like a collective suffering, in a way that we are all hurting and we're all trying to find the truth, but yeah. We can support each other in that process. And that's such a comfort to me.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's so true. I mean, this is, you know, life right now is just, I don't even have the words for it, but knowing that we're in it together, it softens the blow, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It definitely softens the blow. And, you know, sometimes just like, have you seen those beautiful like videos on Facebook and in Italy where they're singing Rihanna? And it's just like,
yes.
Oh, there's still love. There's still joy, guys. There is still hope. There's still happiness. We just have to create it for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there is change that's within our grasp and our power too. And we just have to be willing to make some difficult choices sometimes. And I think for a lot of us, we've been putting them off for a long time. So
yeah.
Happy May.
Happy May. Oh my gosh. Yes. Guys, go ahead and follow Hannah on Instagram as well as Facebook. She also has her own private Facebook group where she just is just amazing and gives so much insight. I will have all of that information in the show notes for you. Thank you again, Hannah, for coming on.
Anytime.